It's time again for Tech Plus. Hello to you if you just joined us. It's Jan with you and also Kane discussing the week's biggest tech stories. Kane, my goodness, what a week.
What a week.
And I don't just mean the tech, I just mean like everything. Everything being South African this week was difficult for me. I don't know about you.
It was difficult. It feels different coming out of the other end of a 12-hour load shedding, hey?
It does. And in total, we spent 18 hours without electricity.
Yeah, I think it was that evening when they were going to implement that day of no power. Then the power wasn't actually there from 10 p.m. all the way to the next
day. That's right. That's right.
Actually, it came on for a brief 40 minutes at the 2, 3 a.m. mark.
Mm.
I believe it came on just after 2:45-ish till 4, and then it load shed from 4
a.m. Just to quickly charge something.
To about 2:30 p.m. I think it came
and then
back.
It just gave up and like, nah, just leave it off. But I mean, it's so terrible when your rechargeables run out of battery. I mean, they can only do, some can only go up to 4 to 6 hours and then they flat. They need a bit of a charge again, you know.
And there's like nothing you can do.
And if there's nothing, you know. I don't know how I did my work this week, to be honest with you, without a generator.
You know, when I was younger and I used to come back from hostel and I used to arrive home, sometimes I'd arrive home and there'd be no one there. But my phone would be dead because of just school and everything. So I arrive home and my battery would be flat and there's no way to charge the battery. So what I would do is, those are the days when you could take the battery out of your phone.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'd leave it in the sun for like 15 minutes.
Did it work?
And then I'd put it in my phone and I'd get like 3% charge.
So it helped a bit.
It helped.
How did that work? I mean, it's not solar. It's just the heat or something.
So when we had our 12-hour load shedding, I tried putting the TV in the sun, but nothing happened.
You're joking. I mean, this is a guy who's got a really good inverter, hey?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Lucky guy.
The right tool for the job.
You see, right, apart from that, Kane, what else is new this week in the tech
world? Wow. Last week, we spoke about a TV that was going to retail for free, and it's now just opened up to registration. So it's called the Tele Dual Screen TV. And The Verge, which is an international publication, actually had a chance to take a look at the TV. And why it's such an interesting TV is because it's a 55-inch 4K TV. And it's free.
But wait, isn't that the one with all the ads in the corner?
So imagine you're looking at your TV. 55 inches looks great. And imagine you had a sound bar. But the sound bar was maybe triple the height. That would be a secondary screen.
Mm-hmm.
And on that screen is advertising. So
with no audio.
By getting a TV for free, you have another screen underneath the TV. It isn't detachable, it's connected to the TV, but it's underneath the TV that has ads playing.
But no audio, hopefully.
No audio.
Just visuals.
But it also acts as an additional screen as well. So when you're going through different apps and you're going through widgets and you're changing volumes and anything you're doing on your main TV is actually happening in the ad space. And the main TVs open up to watch whatever you want. At first you would say, you know, I really don't want ads. I also don't want to spend 20,000 rand on a 55-inch 4K TV. I'd much rather just go to the shop, pick it up, go home, and then I'll take a black bag and I'll put it on top of the other screen. You could make a solution to block that bottom screen out completely so it doesn't have to be a part of your lifestyle.
I was going to say that now. Is there no way to detach it or just put ornaments in front of that bottom screen? You said you need it.
It sounds so easy to do. It probably is just that easy to do, but I think it goes completely against how they're selling it for free.
Just put something in front of it because I think it can be distracting. Some people, they will find it very distracting, especially if those ads are flashing and you're watching a kind of a darkish movie or something.
I can't even watch a TV on my laptop with the toolbar still in the bottom.
Exactly.
Have you ever had that?
Where
you
have,
and you can't
that's
get rid
in the
of
way.
It.
It's in the yard.
It drives you crazy.
So how would this, you know, imagine in the room with all the lights off and these ads keep coming on.
But I would still, I mean, for free, you might have a 55-inch TV in your house and you have a spare bedroom or a kid's bedroom or a little guest bedroom or a guest lounge or a little entertainment area outside and you just go pop a 55-inch TV in there for free. I mean, you can't argue that.
And that's okay.
250,000 other people also decided that that might be worthwhile for them, and they've registered to receive this TV. So in the few short days that it was released, it already oversold. It was sold more units than it had available to sell. And what I think is very impressive about that is that I think they had a big manufacturing cost. I think, yes, they might have taken shortcuts to reduce that manufacturing cost, but I think ultimately their expenditure in terms of setting up a business was capital investment available right then and there to produce all of these TVs. And in that expenditure, they've amassed 250,000, possibly 5 to 8 hour a day eyeballs to see ads. Now, that's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of people, it's a lot of eyeballs, and it's a lot of direct advertising. And more importantly, when you're using this TV as an advertiser, it's very attractive as well. Why? Because the TV knows what content the individual's watching.
So it's targeted.
He knows what his interests are. He knows what he's watching on YouTube. He knows what he's browsing. So from an advertiser perspective, you can directly target an individual. On the sad side of things, you're targeting an individual that doesn't have much money because he got the TV for free, so I don't know what he's going to buy.
I didn't even think about it that way.
So it's
true.
It's going to be interesting to see how it rolls out.
It's a free TV, so the person probably doesn't have money. So what do you... Yeah.
What are you going to advertise?
Very good point.
So from an advertiser's point of view, I definitely want to trial some ads on it. From a viewer's perspective, I think it's easy enough to remove the ads from your field of view and just enjoy some TV without having to see ads. But it's like a pick up a TV for free. Actually, in fact, I'm a bit bummed out because there's no more left. And we're in South Africa, and this is obviously piloting in the USA. I really wish I could have done this. I mean, TVs are expensive.
If you're in America, I'm sure you would do it.
I wonder how many of these you're going to see selling secondhand.
I was going to say now, can you sell it? You're probably not allowed to sell it.
They'll probably advertise the second screen as something else, like PS4 exclusive view into infotainment area or something. But that
this is a very odd concept.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think of it, you know, like in a brainstorm session, I wouldn't come up with something like that.
But ads make money. That's why Netflix and Disney integrated them.
But remember, Uber also said they wanted to put screens on the back of the seats, the front seats of the car, and then show people ads while they're driving. Did they even do that?
I don't think they've implemented it yet, but I think it's in any Uber driver's best interest to possibly have an infotainment system in the back of the car that specifically labels what services he offers to individuals outside of Uber. So your private tours and shuttles, you know, your airport trips, your private chauffeuring, your full day tours. Like, I think every Uber driver should have an infotainment system. Why? Is because you don't just need to advertise your services on there. Go around, go local, and tell them you're an Uber, you have an ad space in the back of your car. That's pay me monthly, and we'll put your ads at the back of my car. It's a good business model.
But Uber probably wants a cut of the ads shown there as well.
Pay per month. Pay per month, you show your ad the whole time that I drive. Done. You know, once off fee.
But do people actually look at those screens while they're driving? I mean, they would probably look out the window or on their phones, texting wherever they're going, you know?
I think they would look. I think they would be very interested in a really digital LCD screen in the back of the car.
But not just a pad that you stick to the back of the seat.
Like the duct tape.
An iPad, because that's going to disappear after your first ride.
You're going to show one ad and not have an ad screen anymore.
There they go with your iPad.
Speaking of new things and new tech, the biggest announcements from Meta's Quest gaming showcase are out. So Meta Quest had a gaming showcase, and they showed some of the new games that are going to be coming out that are going to be VR supported. And there's some interesting ones in here that any gamer might be excited for. There's stuff like Assassin's Creed, which is a super, you know, kind of realistic world history explorer, you know, with its own bells and whistles, which would probably be very cool in something like VR. Then there's Stranger Things, where you'll be able to play as Vecna, which is, I think, also quite cool.
I haven't seen that, so I don't know what you're talking about.
VR Stranger Things.
Uh-huh.
A VR Stranger Things game.
Really?
Yeah. It's coming out.
Okay, well, that must be popular, because that show's doing really well.
Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be like, but, I mean, these are all Facebook's Meta Quest games. It's like the games coming out on Facebook's VR headset. And then there's Ghostbusters as well. And Power Washer Simulator. Have you, you know, for people who love power washing things like walkways, cars.
It's quite satisfying.
Yeah, anyway. So now you can go into VR, you put your VR headset in, and you can power wash your car in VR.
Take all the paint off.
You got.
Is that why Mark Zuckerberg was posing with those VR headsets this week on Facebook? He updated his profile picture.
The new Quest is coming out.
And he was like, "Oh, I'm so excited."
Yeah.
Okay.
The new
headset. That's why. I was wondering. It's like, dude, your VR is not working. Come back.
No, so that's going to be coming out, and along with it, some of those games, which are some are like consumer level games, you know, like Stranger Things and Ghostbusters and Power Washer Simulator. I
like the Power Wash thing. Yeah, that's quite.
You go into VR. I just can imagine it. You know, your car's dirty. It's outside. You don't feel like going outside. You just come inside. You put your VR headset on. You clean. You're not your car, just a digital car. You just power wash it, you know.
Can you power wash people as well? I'd really like to try.
And speaking of TVs, before we go to the ad break.
Music.
The ad break.
The music break.
No, I'm just joking. Because ad TV. So Enhance is a TV that is an 8K TV. That's 110 inches, which is double the size of this ad TV that we're speaking about. 110 inches is absolutely massive, right? And it is a 16K TV, right? 16K. It's not 4K or 8K, but 16K and 110 inches. Now, that is humongous. And the crazy thing is we don't have footage at 16K. Mm. You don't just go get a camera and it streams at 16K.
Mm-mm.
Additionally, 4K.
4K, yeah,
is like, that's it. Is like 8 gigabytes an hour to 12 gigabytes an hour. So 16K would be like 40 gigabytes an hour. It would be ridiculous. So what does this TV do that's very, very, very interesting? How it achieves having a 16,000 resolution 110-inch TV is they take a base resolution of 8K and then use BOE's proprietary image enhancement technology or upscaling technology to take that 8K footage and turn it into 16K footage with almost 100% one-to-one fidelity, meaning that it is almost as good as it is at the lower resolution but with more detail. And now
what
you
more
can
do
get,
you want to see?
It's like we went from having to record the quality as good as possible to being able to record almost any quality and take it to massive resolutions and have it as high quality as possible. And they use AI for that.
I kind of feel sorry for the makeup artists. Like, imagine you have actors in front of those 16K cameras. Like, they will see every single flaw, and if your makeup's not perfect or put on the right way, then people will see it.
You can start counting pores.
Yeah. You know? I think you will be able to see pores at 16K.
No, you will.
That's ridiculous, actually.
But you know what makes it even weirder? Is if you were to take a 1K image, like just the normal thing you would watch on your normal standard TV,
and
you upscale it to 16K with special technologies, you will see every pore, you will see every detail, every hair follicle, every eyelash, every water droplet, everything. Except it would be AI made.
Yes.
Meaning it's not there first, it is assumed there and put there. So the follicles that you see, the eyelashes that you see, the hair that you see might look as realistic as it gets, but it might not have actually been there to begin with.
So once again, AI
confusing me further and further every day.
And this week I saw something so disturbing. Somebody instructed AI, some kind of AI thing, image creator, to show, they say to the AI image creator, what does hell look like? The images that thing threw back. I still see it when I close my eyes.
Yeah.
It is the details.
That's crazy.
It is so creepy.
When we come back from the music, we're going to be talking about a very, very interesting thing that talks just about that. One particular company and their pursuit of stopping all their staff from using AI. And the reason that is very, very interesting.
Oh, I can't wait. Hope this song goes quickly.
Hey.
Let's go for some music.
late nights, I'm not going home. Found my friends, but I lost my phone in the smoke. Living is hard sometimes, so I gotta clear my mind. That's my favorite kind of night. Now at a bar, met this girl through a friend of a friend. We started dancing to heaven. Now I can't pretend to play it cool. Might be a fool, but I don't want it to end. No, no, I don't want it to end. Oh, it's last call, baby, I don't wanna go home. They turn the lights on, you pull in and give me one more. I got the feeling of you kissing me. I'd let you break my heart if I could see you. Can I see you again? She looked at me and then she said, I've got the cabbage on the way. Ooh, I'm glad we had just one night. Wish it would turn into five, but I'd a happy tonight. Oh, it's last call, baby, I don't wanna go home. They turn the lights on, you put in and give me one more. I got the feeling of you kissing me, stuck in my head. I'd let you break my heart if I could see you. Can I see you again? Can I see you again? Oh, can I see you again?
At a bar, met this girl through a friend of a friend. We started dancing to heaven. Can't play it cool, such a fool, but I don't want it to end. No, no, I don't want it to end. Oh, it's last call, baby, I don't wanna go home. They turn the lights on, you pull in and give me one more. I got the feeling of you kissing me, stuck in my head. I let you break my heart if I can see you. Can I see you?
Oh, it's last call, baby, I don't wanna go.
We're back on Tech Plus. If you just joined us, hello to you and welcome. We're unpacking this week's biggest tech stories. Okay, and just before the music break, you mentioned something really interesting. Can't wait to hear more about it.
So iHeartMedia is joining companies like Apple, Spotify, and Verizon in restricting employee use of OpenAI's ChatGPT. So as well as banning the use of the AI model on company devices, according to an internal memo obtained by HotPod, iHeartMedia CEO Bob Pittman and CFO Rich Bressler sent an email yesterday to company employees instructing them not to use ChatGPT in order to prevent data leaks of iHeartMedia's proprietary information. Now, this is something that's very, very interesting. So what iHeartMedia is doing is they're basically saying none of our staff, none of our employees, none of our associates are allowed to use ChatGPT in any way, shape, or form. But they're also developing their own AI, right? They're developing their own in-house AI that is going to allow their staff to use it. So the reason that they don't want to allow their staff to use ChatGPT is because when you communicate with ChatGPT, the AI that allows you to ask questions and do all that kind of cool stuff with AI, and it'll give you answers and it'll do everything, when you ask a question to ChatGPT or you ask it to do something, maybe you have a new product release coming. So you say, this is my new product, this is what it does, this is how it works, this is what it's going to do, please write me a story about this. ChatGPT is going to perform the task probably flawlessly, and if not flawlessly, after a few adjustments and a bit of back and forth conversation, you'll probably have something that you can take and use. Except ChatGPT has now learned from what you've just given it. So when iHeartMedia is trying to protect the intellectual property, trying to protect their ideas, trying to protect themselves from data breaches and data leaks, if they allow their staff to use something like ChatGPT, other people will be able to go to ChatGPT and access those same tools and same information. And that's their biggest fear, is that their staff will leak data into ChatGPT, and ChatGPT will actually inherently use that data to answer other people's questions. No one else is going to come to them and say, give me what iHeartMedia has done here. But they're going to go and ask for something, and the special training methodology that one of iHeartMedia's staff used to get what he needed is now going to be used to give that individual what he needs when he comes and asks. And for that reason, they've decided to ban the use of ChatGPT inside of their internal mechanisms and to develop their own internal model that can be kept off of the internet.
Did you hear about that student? He turned in one of his assignments and he forgot to edit it. And inside it says, like one of the questions he answered, and it says, I'm not able to answer that as I'm an artificial intelligence language model or something like that. He forgot to take it out.
I know.
Like, that's a dead giveaway, but otherwise I'm sure you wouldn't be able to tell.
No, man, if you're so lazy that you're going to go use AI and then you're even more lazy to edit it. That is just...
This is what teachers are dealing with nowadays. This is something I never saw this coming.
Can you imagine? Because it'll take you, what, 4 hours to write an article. So you go to ChatGPT, mm-hmm. it takes you 15 minutes.
Yeah, not even.
And then you say, oh, you know what? It's going to take me about 15 minutes to review this. Nah, I'm fine. I've put enough time and effort into this already. We must be careful as a populace to not become lazy from the tools that we are provided.
You're right. It's supposed to, like, enhance your life, but also... We're getting so lazy. I mean, I think we're already getting lazy with our shopping delivered right to our front door, you know, because we don't go out and spend the money. It just arrives now. You like take you five steps and you've got your groceries delivered to you.
I firmly believe that we do not need to use AI to facilitate the final product, meaning we don't use it over the counter to provide a final product unto someone. What it should actually be used for is deriving the final product. It should be used in tandem with the journey to discover what your final product is actually going to look like and feel like and sound like and read like, almost as an identifier of what the bar is that you have to reach in order to have good quality content. So if you're generating imagery, redo it. Do exactly what you generated over. If you're asking AI to write an article, do it over. Start from scratch and rewrite it based on what you've seen, because it's that training that you're learning, that you're growing. But you have the opportunity to be led in a direction that you want to grow. Most people go out on a whim and grow maybe in the wrong direction. Not in a negative way, but you might take a road much longer to your destination than what you necessarily might have had to do. So if you use AI to help yourself identify what is the journey you're going to be walking down and what is the path and what is necessary to derive what level of content, what level of quality, then you can actually make quite significant growth in your own capabilities, because you're meeting the standard that AI is giving to you. AI says, this is what professional looks like. This is what good image looks like. This is what a good article looks like. And all you have to do is look at that and say, okay, well, how do I meet that same standard? But how does it come from me, not from a machine learning model? And the nice thing about AI is you could say, well, I've read this, but I still don't quite understand how to go about it. And you could generate another 30 and read them all and then reapproach the task and reevaluate what you're trying to do. And it can, I think it can make the most difference.
Absolutely.
Then in terms of some other news, Motorola. When was the last time we heard about Motorola?
Remember their ads? Hello, Moto.
Hello, Moto. I remember that. Yeah, funny.
It was like, hello, Moto.
It was like a whole accent and everything.
Yes, but I had a Motorola. It was a flip phone.
Really?
Uh-huh. Motorola Razr or something it was called.
It's so funny that you say that, because Motorola just released a new phone now.
Is it a flip phone?
It's a flip phone.
What?
It's a touchscreen flip phone called the Motorola Razr Plus.
So, Razr, like the old Razr, but now Razr Plus.
But R-A-Z-R. That's okay. How they spell the Razr.
Okay, but I think it was spelled like that as well back then.
So it's a 3.6-inch cover screen. It's basically a foldable phone where you unfold it and it's a full-screen phone, and you fold it and it's a half-screen phone. And you basically use it like a flip phone. And they just released that, so that's very interesting to see what Motorola... I mean, I haven't seen Motorola on the podium for a minute.
No, it's almost like they gave up.
They were very
at
quiet.
At one stage, yeah.
I mean, I was almost surprised they produced another phone. I haven't heard about Motorola... The last Motorola phone I remember is those old-fashioned phones. It's like an old-fashioned smartphone, entry-level, first ones of their kind. The flip phones, I remember. Oh, no, I haven't seen them around in a while.
So welcome back, Motorola.
Welcome back. Here's something also very interesting. Apple stores. Do you think Apple still makes a lot of money?
It's Apple, yeah, sure.
Well, it seems they do make huge amounts of money.
Yes.
From this Mark Gunman report in Bloomberg, regular stores typically generate more than $40 million annually, while Apple Store Plus's locations bring in over $45 million annually. The flagship stores generate more than $75 million annually, while the flagship Plus stores make over $100 million annually. I mean, you're talking about the smallest Apple store making $40 million annually. That's their average revenue per store across the world. Just a normal little store. It is massive. What a massive business. Huge.
Yep. That's to be expected. I'm not even surprised, actually.
And apparently, or unsurprisingly, Apple is working on a lot more stores. Well, with revenue like that, I mean, you're going to make a few. That is crazy. That is absolutely mad.
It's bonkers.
It's bonkers. Now, Audi. You know Audi.
Yes.
So Audi's slogan in German is Vorsprung durch, which basically means advancement through technology. Today, the automaker is living by these words remotely through its introduction of in-car Cisco WebEx meetings app designed for hybrid work. So what we're talking about is essentially a Zoom meeting inside of your car. So while you're driving,
so still zooming,
you can jump into a video call meeting between yourself and whoever else is on the line while you're in your car. So select 2024 Audis and future VW Group vehicles will have this WebEx available to download from the automaker's in-car app store, which includes TikTok as an option as well. The Cisco Audi partnership comes after WebEx became available on 2024 Mercedes-Benz E-Class and Ford vehicles, plus in-car Zoom in Teslas. So this is interesting. I don't know how I feel about, like, I get nervous enough if I'm in a car with someone and they get on the phone.
Yeah.
Now they have to jump on a video meeting.
Oof.
You know, with a quick hairdo check, you know. I don't know how that's going to play out.
And this is a self-driving car.
Yeah.
And that already is scary enough.
But that, I mean, we've just taken it to another level in the UK when we're talking about cars, right? So UK car rental service called Fetch are piloted to the customer by an operator at a remote location. The customers will still have to manually drive them for the duration of the rental. So this is a rental car company that once you place your rental, the car is then remotely controlled, taken out and delivered directly to you via remote control. No self-driving. This is purely remote control. I can't tell you how I will feel about a car that is driving on the road that is remotely controlled. That is even worse than self-driving, in my opinion. It's
too
like
much that can go wrong.
Self-driving is driven by AI. We know AI is pretty good.
It's too risky.
AI makes mistakes, but it's still pretty good. But remotely driven vehicles is like, I don't know if you've ever watched someone play a video game where they're driving a car, but they don't care what they hit.
That's me.
They turn corners side of the street.
I always like the car scraping the road.
It's how,
like,
you make corners.
I lose,
you know,
a door. And then I just drive off a bridge and I have to start all over again.
I do think it's very cool that you can get your car delivered to you remotely, but, you know, it's quite a nerve-wracking thing thinking about being at an intersection where one of the cars at the intersection is being remotely controlled by someone in his house. You know, how does that...
What if there's signal interference? That's always a possibility.
Yeah, or buffering. Can't exactly buffer in an accident-like situation, you know? Like, how does that work?
That's, I don't know. I know I should laugh, but that would be hilarious. I'm sorry.
And are we going through to another music break?
Yes. Yes, Kane. Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's groove.
Let's do it.
You're coming my way, you're coming my way tonight. Here goes another mistake I know I'm gon' make, I know I'm gon' make tonight. Oh, you should let it go, you're better off alone. Cause I'm about to fuck it up with you. I know that look on your face. You're coming my way, you're coming my way tonight. And I will never change. I couldn't even It's hard to give it all, trying to block you out, but you're invading my thoughts. And you got 10 fingers wrapped around my heart. Wish I could give you everything that you want, but I won't, no. Oh, you should let it go, you're better off alone. Cause I'm about to fuck it up with you. I know that look on your face. You're coming my way tomorrow, we'll say goodbye. And I will never change. Couldn't even if I wanted to for you. There's nothing left to say. If I was you, if I was you, then I would stay thousand miles away. Here in your arms, I'm already gone. Tonight, and I will never change. I couldn't even if I wanted to for you. There's nothing left to say. If I was you, if I was you, then I would stay a thousand miles away.
Hello and welcome back to Tech Plus. We are now in the final stretch of today's show. Kane, what's next?
Next, we're taking a look at something that's very positive signs for the EV industry, PlugShare, which is a charging guide app. So if you have an electric car and you don't want to run out of electricity randomly on the edge of the road, you're probably going to install PlugShare, which is going to allow you to locate a charging station that you can recharge your vehicle at. So the users on PlugShare have grown by 1 million in less than a year. So the EV Charging Guide app now has 3.5 million users, according to Evgo, which acquired PlugShare in 2021. PlugShare has been a boon to hundreds of early EV adopters looking for chargers. The interface is showing its age compared to Google Maps, but PlugShare users have logged over 6.5 million check-ins worldwide and share useful tips on almost every charging station. This is very positive. We need this kind of technology. We don't need it for garages. You know, you might not, because Google Maps has you covered on that regard. But in terms of coming to a new location and knowing where to go to safely recharge your car is incredibly important. And this app just demonstrates how powerful this kind of technology is going to be and how useful this type of technology is going to be for the next generation of cars on our road. We're not going to stick with petrol forever. Mm-mm. This is describing the future that you're going to have to live by in order to operate your electric vehicle. It's going to be using apps that help you identify charging stations. It's going to be planning routes and trips. It's going to be knowing how long it's going to take to charge your car based on how powerful that charging station is without you having to be an electrical mathematician to figure it out for yourself. That's going to be the usability side of the EV market in terms of recharging. And it's good to see apps like these growing.
Yeah, I was actually reading in the news this week. I was reading a news bulletin where they said that despite the fact that it's still very new in our country, the electric, the EVs, they're still going to carry on rolling out new charging stations, regardlessly of that. They're planning on, it was one of the biggest companies in South Africa doing that. I can't remember the name now. But they said they will just keep rolling it out, even though the average is very low still of all the EVs. They gave some stats, and very low still compared to the rest of the world, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just going to keep rolling out those charging stations all over the show.
Well, I think they're smart enough to know that infrastructure is key, and the providers of this infrastructure are going to be the top dogs.
Yeah.
So, you know, while everything's quiet, just keep building infrastructure.
Yep.
Keep building.
Because it's going to come, you know.
It is. It is. And if it's not done in an entrepreneurial fashion from inside of South Africa, it's going to be done from outside of South Africa.
Yeah.
And then we're not winning.
Yeah.
And we need to win.
Mm. And they did say they want to see more endorsement from government and encouragement.
Yeah.
From government to say to them and to also, you know, get the picture into the people's heads that yes, an EV is expensive, more expensive, but it's a lifetime investment. You need to realize that you're never going to pay for petrol again.
No, but you will pay for batteries in some way, shape, or form.
How long? I wonder how long these batteries last on those cars.
I know that in a Tesla, when your battery packs up, it's over. When your engine packs up, it's over. But when your car engine packs up, you can still get into your car.
Yeah, you mentioned once that you can't get in.
No.
Once, was that a flaw? Is it that actually how it's built?
It's how it's built. It's the doors are electronically controlled. So when there's no more electronics.
But what if you like drive into a lagoon or something and you need to get out of the car, and now everything seizes up and you can't get out? The doors won't open. The windows won't open. Is there like an emergency switch? I really hope so.
There's going to be something where you can break the window, I'm sure. You know, there's going to be like one of those special devices where you tap the window inside of water, it'll just shatter the window. But no, if you get locked outside your car, your battery dies while you're outside your house, there's only one way into your Tesla. You need specialized tools. You need to take the front of the car off and you need to go through your bonnet into the front of your car. I've never seen something like that before.
Imagine like phoning your girlfriend, darling, just take off the whole front of the car. Okay.
Just climb in.
Just climb in there.
And just crawl till you see lights. Not good.
No.
No.
No, it's worse than changing a tire.
No. You're going to hear Tesla stuck on the side of the road, owner found inside the bonnet. Just miscalculated the entry. I can see it now.
I can also see it very clearly. That's why I'm laughing so hard.
Something else that we can see right now, and we were speaking a little bit about headsets and Meta Quest's headset, but Apple has its work cut out for it in terms of VR. It's probably going to be releasing its Apple VR headset soon. which it's been working on for years and dumping huge amounts of cash into. And it looks like it's going to be called the Apple Reality Pro, and it's going to be at roughly about $3,000 or 60,000 rand for the headset. I'm very interested to see what they bring to the table here. Apple is a very closed loop system, meaning Apple software is Apple software. You don't install a Windows app on an Apple computer. You know, you don't do that.
Don't dare.
They're very separate from each other.
Yep.
Windows is nice because you have access to all sorts of third-party tools and technologies, and sometimes those tools and technologies conflict with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But inside something like Apple, everything's closed loop. It's all synchronized with all your different Apple devices. It's supposed to be an environment for your technology. And when you bring VR into the mix of this environment, inside of your iCloud and all of your content and all of your information and all of your shared drive information and all of your technology synchronized, and you now you're in a headset, I feel like the experience, the things you're going to be able to do are going to be a little bit more finely tuned to your Windows alternatives. And I think the things that you're going to be able to do would be things that are inherently very difficult to do on Windows open system, where there's lots of different apps from lots of different places. And here Apple's got this nice closed environment. I wonder what it's going to be like. Would you be able to watch Netflix directly from your Apple headset? How will they turn your Macintosh desktop into a virtual space? How is it going to connect to your phone? Will you be able to have your phone camera on and be able to see a feed of that phone camera from your headset in your virtual reality space?
Very good question.
You know, are you going to be able to do FaceTime natively inside of the headset? There's so many things that Apple can bring to the table with a VR headset that I'm just eager. I'm like, please, let me see what it is, because if it's 60,000 rand a headset, Quest is about 15,000 rand a headset. I want to know, what does it do? What makes it so special? Is it going to make me more productive? And how much more productive is it going to make me? That's what I was thinking. And then we've got a very interesting piece of technology built by a community member on something like Reddit. Remember when YouTube removed the dislike counter?
Yes.
So if you go to YouTube now, there's no dislike counter. You can see how many likes the video has, but you can't see how many dislikes the video
has. But there is still the button to press.
No, you can press dislike.
But you can't see
how many there are.
Because why do you think that was? It's demotivating for the creator, do you think?
Look, there were definitely dislike brigades where people would, like, I even got exposed to when I was just starting on YouTube. I'd release a video and one guy with 10 accounts would go and dislike the video within the first 30 seconds.
He must have really hated you.
Yeah, well,
why
he must
do people
have.
Do
but,
this,
but
man?
But to have 3 views and 10 dislikes is very strange for the average viewer. You know, you come on this, like, there's 3 views but 10 dislikes. How does it work?
But why?
So The dislike brigades were very bad. You could easily you could buy 10,000 dislikes for $5. So a guy can be really popular. You can have 1 million views on his video with 5,000 likes, and you can come and put 6,000 dislikes on for $5. You know?
Why would you pay to dislike somebody's video?
It's a real service that exists out there.
I think that's probably that's a mental problem.
Actually. Yeah. It's like you got to be involved. I don't even know what they're thinking.
It's a little bit twisted, isn't it?
But it exists. Yeah. So for those kind of like brigades, I can understand it. But then there was the other, and I recently read about this. This isn't something that I thought, and it kind of rang true. When you're an advertiser on YouTube and you try and make this great ad, right? Maybe you thought really creatively, you really got outside your comfort zone, and maybe you hired people that weren't quite cut out to deliver what you wanted to deliver. They ended up delivering it and you decided to publish the ad. But the world hated it. They thought it was a joke. They thought it was unprofessional. They thought it wasn't connected to reality. They thought it was terrible. So what do? They go to your video and they dislike it and they hate on it and they comment bad things on it. And now your advertisement that you're paying to get in front of people's eyes are also, once they're in front of those people's eyes and they go back to the video, they see how much dislike and bad stuff there is regarding that video. So it depreciates the quality of your ad. So I think in one way, shape, or form, they might have removed the dislikes so that when advertisers release videos, the communities can't drive those videos into the ground and make them completely non-productive anymore. Because if you have a great ad and you get hit by a dislike brigade, and now, you know, you're paying for this ad to meet people's eyes and they're already starting on a poor impression, it's just not going to work. So with those two things in mind, that's why they removed the dislike button. But people weren't happy about it. Because if you see a video and it's got 10,000 views and 850 likes and you can't see the dislikes, you're probably going to think it's a good video. But what if there are 850 dislikes there? So there's 850 likes and 850 dislikes. The whole impression of what you're about to get into watching changes completely. Why is it so divided 50-50? You know, what if there's 85 likes but 8,000 dislikes? Now what? You see 8 likes only. So that's why creators don't really like it, because they feel you can't identify what it's indicating. What are the likes indicating? Are they indicating a minority like the content and a majority dislike it? You can't tell. So one particular user went onto Reddit and he actually made a piece of code that allowed users to go to YouTube videos and actually like and dislike it all through Reddit. And it's a very cool piece of technology that allows it's like a Rotten Tomatoes of YouTube, basically.
I saw that earlier this week, so that's what they were talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
So the Rotten Tomatoes of YouTube. So it's like a secondary layer on top of YouTube for people to review and comment things on people's channels and leave remarks and all that sort of stuff. A Rotten Tomatoes of YouTube. YouTube takes it away and then people create it.
Yeah.
That's the power.
There will always be somebody or a group will work around it.
Humans are so powerful.
You can bet on it.
In the tech world, we're so powerful.
Yeah, and like your real nerds, they'll fix it quickly.
Yeah, they'll make their own.
Times are tough in South Africa.
Yes.
Is there anything that you used to buy in the store and now you don't buy anymore because things are a little bit tight?
I don't know. It's a kind of a good question.
I see a lot of people, it's probably a very personal question, so you don't have to answer it, but I mean, a lot of people put the sweets back, you know.
Yeah.
Less sweets, some even cut down on alcohol. I think we need more alcohol. more wine. To cope with, load shedding and everything. But anyway, so South Africans are cutting back. There's no doubt about it. And there was this research group called InfoQuest. They did a study recently on South African households and the most cancelled expenses in South African households.
No, please, I want to hear.
Yes, and number one is, can you kind of guess?
I have
no idea.
You said sweets, so I'm going to think ice cream or sweets. Or
They actually cancel their gym memberships.
No!
So we're like, hey, I can do it at home.
Sweets or gym.
Yeah, I'll just lift, the door and stuff, that kind of, I'll just DIY in the garage.
So the gym membership.
Gym memberships. And then the funny thing is number two, but it's not too surprising, is DSTV.
God, no, GSTV couldn't get out of it.
They just couldn't get out of it. I mean, they don't just downgrade, they freaking cancel.
Bro, they're watching their customers. They're like, okay, he's going to the gym. Okay, he's cancelled his gym. He's going home. Oh, they cancelled us. You know what I mean?
They're going to see that, eh? That's a big knock. And then the third one's a bit worrying, because usually when you do this, something could go wrong, especially in these times. Home insurance.
Ooh.
Cancelling home insurance. Now, I hope you've got a really good security system, because if you cancel your home insurance, a lot of times people do that and then they burgled the next day or the next week.
Well, that's what blew my mind about you mentioning gym, because gym can be like 400, 500, 600 rand a month.
It shows you how tough it is.
But insurance can be like...
yesterday first.
Insurance can be like 3,000, 7,000, 9,000. It can go as much as you want to cover.
Yeah.
So you would think insurance goes first.
The fourth one's even more concerning.
What?
Medical aid.
No! Gym medical aid and insurance.
You're screwed.
You basically said yourself.
It just shows you how tough it is. I mean, I don't get sick that often, so it's all right. Yeah, it's not really all right.
That is mad.
And then, oh my gosh, should I go on?
Yeah.
The next one, I'll just quickly go over the next few ones. The next one is funeral policies.
They're like, I'm not here, it's fine.
It's too expensive to die. Car insurance is the next one. Then there's hospital plans, life insurance, retirement costs or annuities. And lastly, education policies.
Wow.
But yeah, number one, gym memberships. Number two, DSTV. Number three, home insurance. Number four, medical aid. Number five, funeral policies.
That is mad.
And obviously number one being the gym memberships. That's the top one.
And there's obviously people doing all of it. They're just like cancel.
Probably
cancel,
all of it,
cancel,
yeah. In difficult times, people just cut whatever they can.
You have to. You can't not come out.
Yeah, cut.
And it's getting expensive.
Yeah, but it also gets to a stage where you can't cut anymore. Then you got to stop cutting because...
Then you start cutting limbs.
Yeah.
It's like no longer finances anymore. It's just body parts.
It's just you got to leave a bit of joy in your life.
Start going
right?
for the kidneys. People are like, no, wait, hold on.
Near donor.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, man. It's tough.
It's tough, Bray.
And does that bring us to
South Africa? Yes. That's it. That's it for another week's show.
Wow. It's a good one.
Hey, at least we can still afford to do the show.
Yeah.
We won't cut it.
As much as load shedding tries.
Yes,
it
exactly.
won't come right.
Exactly. Kane, thank you so much. It's always great to have you in studio, and I hope you're going to enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks to all of our listeners for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
For the real thing, lonely and out of place when I don't have you with me. Does your heart say the same on all these nights alone? Yeah, or is it just me hoping you'll come home? 'Cause I don't know if I. Oh baby.
Trying.